May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please? Shabbat shalom, everyone. My name is Sonny Israel Patan Nathaniel Abadoff Hawkins, and I'd like to serve forever as priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
Can I have your attention, please? Can I have your attention, please? Shabbat shalom, everyone. My name is Sonny Vishaleva Barzai Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Yishaleva now entering the sanctuary.
You can be seated. There you
go.
The priest always will be with each and every one of you. To tell my speeches, our job is to teach. Yahweh has given us a great job in these last days. In fact, being a teacher is the greatest job you can have. Yahweh is preparing us to do this job. How shall I teach us through our pastor, and then we teach what we learn. In order to teach, we have to begin. In order to teach, we have to know and the law, and we have to be against sin. Sin is the breaking of the law, and it will never bring peace. Please turn to Genesis 4:12, found on page 3. When you work the soil, it shall no longer build its strength in you. You shall be a fugitive, and you will ever be sick. You shall be a fugitive, and you will ever be searching for peace on the earth. And sin brings suffering and war. Sin brings suffering and war. I will search you for peace, but find it only continual war. Today, there are false preachers who teach people they don't need to keep the law, but that only brings more confusion and death. Please turn to Matthew 24:11. And many false prophets will rise and deceive the many. In the last days, we are learning how to prevent death by stopping what causes it to begin with. We teach the laws of Yahweh. Look up to Matthew 24:14. And this message of the kingdom will be preached to all the world who bears witness to all nations, and then the end will come. In the 8th book of Ezekiel, part 2, chapter 22, verse 35, your ears, you become an ear of this righteousness, where you can teach others this righteousness throughout all eternity. That's your job, to become a teacher, to teach the universe this righteousness, and to hold up for it throughout all eternity, not give in to anyone or anything. Praise Yah. We are the ones who are preaching this message, being with our pastor, Israel Hawkins, and coming with all of us. Our job is to teach this world and the universe. Yah bless your understanding.
And with this, I'll turn the services over to the great Kahan Koheleth Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom. Please be seated. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I got that right. Praise Yahweh. Okay, so today, what I wanted to talk about is the language of Yahweh. Okay, the language of Yahweh. And how to pay attention to what was written in the scriptures for our learning, and how to add up the word of Yahweh. Okay, because Yahweh has a very specific way of writing that we need to pay attention to. And this is what Pastor's been teaching us from the beginning, you know, how to add up the word of Yahweh. Remember, a little here and a little there, right? And so even though the scriptures that I use may seem like they don't connect, but again, here a little, there a little. So first I would like you to open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And again, we're talking about the language of Yahweh, okay, the words of Yahweh, which are the words of life. Okay, the language of Yahweh, the words of Yahweh, the words of life. So in 1 Corinthians 13 on page 896, we're going to start in verse 1. And actually the caption reads, love in the house of Yahweh. Okay, love in the house of Yahweh. It says, though I speak with the language of men and of Malachim, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all deep secrets and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my possessions to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it is no advantage to me. Okay, so he's given us some examples of some of his abilities, some of the things that he can do, some of the things that he has done. And remember what Yeshua said. He said in Matithya, I think it's chapter 7, it says, many will come and say, have we not done many wonderful works in your name? And he says, get away from me, you who practice iniquity. Okay, so these are some wonderful works here. But he says, if I have not love, then it's of no advantage. And so here, continuing in the language of Yahweh, verse 4 says, love. Love is patient and is kind. Love is not jealous. Love is not boastful. It is not puffed up with pride. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own advantage. Is not provoked. Become worked up in irritation. Thinks no evil. Okay, so this is what love is in the house of Yahweh. This is part of the training. These are the teachings that we have to allow to have this perfect work in us. Remember, the laws of Yahweh, we have to allow these teachings to have its perfect work in us so that we can develop this true love that Yahweh is offering us. Okay, but as long as we're still carnal, you know, we're constantly fighting and wrestling against the spirit of Yahweh, which is written throughout the scriptures, this struggle that we're going through. So continuing on here, I want to read verse 5 again. It says, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own advantage, is not provoked, become worked up in irritation, and it thinks no evil. Now, I want to go over to Jeremiah. Hold your place here because we're going to come back here. But turn over to Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2. And it's on page 574. Okay. And remember, here a little, there a little. I may refer to that quite a few times because, again, it may seem like, you know, some may wonder, why did he choose that scripture? So just remember, here a little, there a little. We're adding up the word of Yahweh. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. It says, my people have committed two evils. One, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And two, they have dug their own cisterns, okay? They have dug their own cisterns, cisterns that crack and cannot hold water. Okay, so think about what he's telling us there. Okay, the two evils that's taking place there is that, one, we forsook Yahweh. Okay, we rejected Yahweh. We rejected the teachings of Yahweh's way. And then we've dug our own cisterns, you know, that are cracked, that can't hold water. And so what he's saying here is like, you know, when you look at your own body as a vessel, a container that's supposed to be, you know, being filled up with this oil or the teachings, which are the water or oil, however Yahweh wants to refer to it. We're not able to hold this water because our cisterns, we're cracked. We're not perfect because we're not, you know, allowing the teachings to bring us to perfection so that we can hold on to these things. So as long as we're allowing our minds to be out in the world, or as long as we partake in sin, then we're not going to fully hold on to the way of Yahweh. Okay, so this is one of the things that he's saying here in verse 13. We're forsaking Yahweh, and then we wonder why we're not being successful in the way of Yahweh. You know, we're not holding on to these teachings. So we have to allow Yahweh to mold us like the potter does the clay. If Yahweh's forming us, then we will be able to hold on to the teachings. We will be able to be filled with the waters of life, okay, with this golden oil that's being poured out into us in these last days. Okay, let's go back over to 1 Corinthians. Continuing on here, we're going to go to verse 6. 1 Corinthians 13, 6. Continuing in what love is. It says here, it does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Okay, in the truth. What is the truth? the laws of Yahweh, rejoicing in the laws of Yahweh. Okay, it does not betray, believes all things, hope all things, endures all things. Okay, endures all things. But look back up at verse 4 again. I just want to read the first three words there. It says, love is patient, right? Okay, love is patient. And then right here at the bottom of 7, enduring all things. Okay, so how much patience does it take before, you know, you don't have any patience anymore? You know, is that your brother getting on your nerves, your sister getting on your nerves? You know, I'm trying to be patient with you. I'm trying to be patient. My patience is running out. If you're running out of patience, then do you actually have patience? You have to endure all things. Okay, remember, we're called to Yahweh's house to learn how to get along with one another, right? Learning how to, you know, solve problems so that we can go and solve the world's problems and solve the problems in the universe. Okay, so yes, you have to love your brother who steps on your shoe all the time, you know, butting elbows and so on. Yes, you have to love your sister who's in your ear so much that now you got a crook in your neck, right? You know, yes, we're called here so that we can learn how to work out these problems, and that's what these teachings do. You know, Yahweh says, here's the teachings, solve the problem. Okay, solve the problem. And it doesn't matter. I don't want to make it sound like it doesn't matter, but hopefully you'll get the point. You know why you're here at the house of Yahweh, right? Okay, do we know? You know why you're here at Yahweh's house. As individuals, you know why you're here. We know why we're here. So it doesn't matter how someone else talks to us or treats us as far as what we need to do as individuals to prove ourselves to Yahweh, okay? That person has to work out their own salvation with Yahweh, okay? So if you know why you're here, it doesn't matter what others may say or do because you're here for a reason, okay? Now, Yahweh does give us instructions to say, pray for your brother, pray for your sister, okay? But again, we just read, love does not betray, it thinks no evil, it doesn't get worked up in irritation. But, you know that Yahweh is working with every individual here. You know, it may take me 50 years before I learn how to talk to someone calmly. You know, do you have to think evil of me because I'm not there yet? No, let Yahweh work with me. Okay, let Yahweh work with me because I'm here so that I can be like Yahweh. Okay, and if we look at each other like that, knowing that Yahweh is working with everyone, then maybe the kingdom will come a lot sooner because we've overcome these things that causes us to be worked up. So let's continue on here. Verse 8. It says, love never fails. Okay, love never fails. So remember in, I think it's in 1 Kefa. Hold your places there. I want to read this scripture really quick, if I could find it. If somebody, oh, here it is. 1 Kefa. Nope, maybe 2 Kefa. Okay, in 2 Kefa, chapter 1, verse 5. And it says, grow to perfection in the faith. And this is where it says, verse 5, and also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance perseverance, and to perseverance holiness, and to holiness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are in you and abound, they cause you to be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our King, Yahshua Messiah. But he who lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Therefore, my brethren, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never fall. Okay, you see that? If you add these things, you will never fall. And that's what we're talking about here, developing this love in the house of Yahweh, this patience, this kindness, this, you know, getting rid of jealousy and being irritated and the thinking evil and things like that. You know, and then verse 11 here in 2 Kefa says, and in this way, an entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our King and Savior, Yahshua Messiah, will be abundantly supplied to you. So if we allow Yahweh to continue to have his perfect work, then an entrance into the kingdom will be there. Okay, there's no way that Yahweh is not going to allow us in the kingdom if we develop the character that's necessary to be there. In verse, back over to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect comes, then that which is in part or imperfect, it will vanish away. Okay, so we're learning, we're still learning, but right now, you know, we're still fighting or resisting the carnal mind. Okay, but you know, as we're continuing to feed ourselves with Spirit Holy, with the food for Spirit Holy, then the strength of Yahweh is developing in us. So I want to go over to Deuteronomy really quick here. Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy verse 30, this is what Yahweh says he's going to do for us. You know, this is an amazing thing. Again, the language of Yahweh, you know. I was speaking with one of the great Kahans, and this is like part of our normal conversation, the language of Yahweh. And one of the things that he had mentioned was, you know, paying attention to how Yahweh speaks to us in various ways, you know. And one of the scriptures shows that Yahweh speaks to men in dreams and in visions and interpretations and dark secrets and things like that, you know. But Yahweh also speaks to us through our tests and trials, okay, through tribulation. This is how we're made perfect, through our suffering. So we have to be able to recognize Yahweh in all of these things, because all of these, everything that we go through, so that we can learn a very valuable lesson. Okay, and the lesson that we need to learn is how to become guards, how to guard and keep life. Okay, and that's the objective here. You know, Yahweh didn't call us here, like Pastor would say, to, you know, we weren't promised a bed of roses. Okay, but we're called here to endure the most dangerous, the sickest time in the history of mankind. Okay, where everything that's out there is designed to bring life to an end. Everything is designed to bring life to an end except what's offered at Yahweh's house. Okay, this is the only place where you can get life. And so when you understand those things, you can see how, you know, everything that you go through is to your betterment. Okay, and if people choose to leave Yahweh's house, it's not because they couldn't take what was going on in Yahweh's house. It's because they chose to leave. Okay, because Yahweh says, I'm not going to allow you to go through anything that you can't handle. So any and everything that you're going through, you have to believe and trust in Yahweh and know that you're capable of overcoming it. You're capable of dealing with it, or you wouldn't be going through it. That's a basic understanding in the scriptures. Okay, if you trust and believe in Yahweh, you can deal with anything that's set before you. Okay, if you leave, it's just because you chose not to do it. Okay, there's no excuses. None, not one. So in Deuteronomy 30, verse 6, Yahweh says that, it says here, Yahweh your father will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants, so that you will love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. Okay, so that you will love Yahweh. Okay, again, that love, developing the patience, the kindness, developing everything that's necessary to enter into the family of Yahweh. And over the past, well, I don't know how long it's been, but I've been having a conversation with several men, you know, individually and things like that. And one of the common things is, you know, the desire to overcome sin and some things is just so difficult to get rid of. You know, some thoughts that pop up in the head and it's like, man, these thoughts, they just pop up. You know, are we ever going to get rid of that? You know, because some things you just can't control what goes into your mind, but you can control how long you think about it, how quick you remove it. Those are the things that Yahweh gives us the ability to do right now. But look at the footnote here, though. Look at, and you know, and this is great to me, because I've had this book here since 96, and this footnote has always been here. This is not just something that was added like last month or something like that. This footnote has always been here. And this is how far, this is just one example of how far ahead of us Pastor really is and how much we should really be thankful that he's our teacher in these last days. Praise Yahweh. Okay, so here's the answer to that question. Will we ever get rid of the things that plug us right now? G7, it says, Yahweh will purge all those affections from you that you are powerless to purge on your own. Okay, so there's some things that we just cannot do right now, but remember, we're being judged for the effort that we're put into it. Okay, we're being judged for the effort, so don't allow certain things to beat you up. Continue to examine yourself in humility, right? Examine yourself in humility, and Yahweh will do the rest when it's time. But that's no excuse to sin. It just means work, work, work. Be diligent in paying attention to the message so that we can grow in righteousness. So, again, what are we talking about? The language of Yahweh, receiving these teachings, right? So that we can come to perfection. So let's look over to Yochanan chapter 8. Yochanan chapter 8. Because there's some basic things that we have to do to set ourselves up to even be able to pay attention to Yahweh. You know, because in the world, you know, the people, they actually think that they hear, you know, they hear the Lord talking to them, right? Yes. Yes, oh Lord, right? But they're not getting any answers from heaven, okay? There's a way that Yahweh communicates with his people. Look at verse 43 here. Yochanan 8:43 says, Do you know why you cannot understand my language? Because you cannot hear my words. You reject the law and the prophets. Okay, so if you want to understand the language of Yahweh, first off, you cannot reject the teachings, period. If you reject the teachings, then you're not listening to Yahweh. Okay, you're not listening to Yahweh. Let's look over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. So now we're getting into some really familiar scriptures here. But again, pastor's teaching us to add up the word of Yahweh, being able to have, to try to have the whole book of Yahweh in our head, right? Which seems like an impossible task, right? But guess what? You know, Yahweh says that when there are two or more gathered in my name, I am in the midst of them, right? So even though my head is larger than most, I still don't have the whole book of Yahweh in my head, right? So guess what? That means I need my brethren. You know, I need all the Sabbath services, all of the classes, so that I can remember the word of Yahweh, right? And so when we're working together as a family, then we do have the whole book of Yahweh when we're in unity as one body. Okay, so I myself don't have the whole book, but together we can answer any question to solve any problem, right? Together. Praise Yahweh. Verse 15, Romans chapter 1, verse 15 says, no, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the message, for it is the strength of Yahweh unto life everlasting for everyone who believes. Okay, for everyone who believes. So he says that the message is the strength of Yahweh. And the strength of Yahweh is what? The laws and the prophecies, right? But remember what we just read? You don't understand my language because you reject the laws and the prophecies. So here in this message, these teachings, this is the strength of Yahweh. And in verse 17, it says, for in these teachings, the righteousness of Yahweh is revealed. Okay, the righteousness of Yahweh, the character of Yahweh is revealed through these teachings. Okay, through these teachings. So if you reject these teachings, you're not only rejecting Yahweh, but you're rejecting the opportunity to become just like Yahweh himself, which is why we were created. This is why we were created, so that we can become just like Yahweh. Okay, and this is the strength of Yahweh. Now remember, Yeshua also said, you know, you err or you make poor choices because what? You don't know the scriptures, right? He says you err because you don't know the scriptures. That's Matthew 22:29. Well, I'm not going to go to it, but I think it's Matthew 22:29. But you err because you don't know the scriptures nor the power of Yahweh. Okay, and one of the definitions of the word power is to do work, right? The ability to do work. Yeshua says, I work and my Father is lazy, right? No? Right, I work and my Father work, right? We have the ability to do work. We work, we work, we work. We save lives, okay? That's the family business. This is what we're being trained for. To guard and protect life. So look over to Psalms. Psalms chapter 50. Psalms chapter 50. I work and my Father work. Okay. So again, being in the house of Yahweh, Yahweh is calling us to his house to be judged, to become trained, okay? He's seeing what we have to offer, because we know what Yahweh has to offer, right? In Yochanan, it shows that Yeshua says that He said, in my Father's house, there's many, many offices, many positions to be filled. There's a lot of work to do, but obviously the laborers are few though, right? It's a lot of work. When you think about the work that we have to do, okay, when you think about the work that Yahweh is preparing us for, to go out into the universe and to fix things, to get things back in order, that's a lot of work. It's a lot, right? And look around, you know, look around. There's not a lot of people here. Okay, the universe is an extremely large place. It's actually beyond comprehension at this point, at least for me. I mean, it's huge. I mean, just the planet alone is going to take all of us to fix this. Okay, 1,000 years to fix this. And then to go out into the universe, you're talking about job security? You know, job security, but we have to qualify for those things. And that's why we're here at Yahweh's house. So in verse 5, Psalms 50, verse 5, it says, Yahweh says, gather my saints together to me, those who have ratified my covenant over sacrifice. Okay, and so the word ratified means to sign or give formal consent to a treaty, a contract, or an agreement, making it officially valid, to confirm, to approve, endorse, to agree, to uphold, and to accept it. And so remember baptism? Remember the counseling? They affixed their seals. Okay, legally signing. Here it says, ratify my covenant, to agree with, to accept the covenant. The word accept means to receive or to obtain, to believe or come to recognize as valid or correct, to trust. Okay, to trust. So he said, gather my saints together to me, those who have ratified or those who have agreed with and accepted my covenant over sacrifice. Okay, the covenant agreement that Yahweh made with his people, he says, obey my voice. He said, obey my voice and I will be your father and you will be my people. Okay, remember in Jeremiah, let's look over there really quick. Hold your place there. We'll be coming back. In Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. Let me read this verse one more time here. Psalms 50, verse 5. Yahweh says, gather my saints together to me, those who have ratified my covenant over sacrifice. And 721, this is what Yahweh of hosts, the Father of Israel, says, put away your burnt offerings with your other sacrifices and eat meat. For I did not speak to your fathers or command them about burnt offerings or sacrifices in that day or in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt. But this thing I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your father, and you will be my people, and walk in all my ways that I have commanded you, so that it will be well with you. But they did not obey nor pay any attention. Instead, they walked in the counsel and the imagination of their evil heart and went backward and not forward. So this is how they repaid Yahweh. Okay, this is how they repaid Yahweh. Yahweh says, look, I didn't tell you about these sacrifices. I didn't command you to do these things. I said, obey the teachings. Obey the teachings. Okay, eat meat. Remember what that meat is. Remember in Hebrews chapter 5, it says, meat are for those who are skilled in the doctrine of righteousness to discern the difference between righteousness and evil. I'm paraphrasing. I'm pretty sure that's what it says. What is Hebrews 5? Yes. Actually, I'm going to read it. Verses Hebrews 5, verses 12 through 14. It says, For indeed, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need that someone teach you again the elementary principles of Yahweh's word, and have become of those who have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone who continues to be fed on milk is unskilled in the doctrine of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to those who are full grown, for those whose senses are trained, okay, trained by practice to discern both righteousness and evil. Okay, so he says, put away these sacrifices and eat meat. So let's go back over to Psalms 50. Okay, put away these sacrifices and eat meat. You know, meat, the strong teeth, the teachings, practicing the teachings of Yahweh's way. And remember what we read, it says, gather my saints together to me who have ratified my covenant over sacrifice. Those who agree with my teachings instead of making these sacrifices over and over again that does not take away sin. Okay? Ratify the covenant. Obey my voice and remove sin from your life. This is the language of Yahweh. And doing so, developing the love that's necessary to teach these things to others. Okay, this is the great plan of Yahweh, part of the great plan of Yahweh. Verse 6, the heavens will declare your righteousness, O Yahweh, for you are the judge, Selah. Yahweh says, hear, O my people. Okay, hear, listen, because I'm speaking to you, but you don't understand my language. Why is that? Is it because you reject the law and the prophets? Hear, O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am Yahweh, your father. I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. Let me skip a bunch of this here. Let me read. I have no need of a bullock from your house, nor of a he-goat from your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine. The cattle on 1,000 hills belong to me. I know every bird in the mountains, and the animal of the field are mine. And this is interesting. Verse 12, if I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine with its bountiful fullness. And so Yahweh gets hungry. Yahweh gets hungry, huh? Interesting, right? Well, we were made just like him, you know. Yahweh eats. But he says, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you, though. He'll make his own sandwiches. That's what he wants to do. All right? Yahweh makes his own sandwich, all right? So he says here, will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the bloods of he-goats? So again, he's talking about, you know, all of these sacrifices that don't remove sin. Yahweh doesn't drink blood. And this is where, you know, this is one of the ways and one of the areas where pastor excels. And this, because he'll read this like, Yahweh doesn't drink blood because the law says don't partake in the blood. You know, but here the world will look at the creator as being vengeful and angry and, you know, murderous and so on and so forth. But if we're not thinking law, if we don't understand the language of Yahweh, then we'll be confused in our thinking. Okay, we're going to be confused in our thinking. Yahweh doesn't drink the blood of goats. Okay, so obviously there's something else in there. Okay, remember the scripture says, don't muzzle the ox that treads out the grain. And then the Apostle Shaul said, is it the ox that Yahweh is concerned about or is it not the people? Okay, so the reason that I brought that up is because even though it says animals here and there, you know, the lesson is hidden in the words that are written there. So Yahweh's not always talking about animals, even though he may be talking about an animal, but the deeper understanding is for his house, if you accept and obey the words of the voice of Yahweh. Then you'll be able to see through these things and say, oh, Father Yahweh, I see what you're saying. And no, you don't have a glass of he-goat blood, you know. But, you know, like with the blood of Messiah, you know, it's the life, you know, that Yeshua lived, right? It's the life that he's trying to show us. Matter of fact, let's turn over to Yochanan 14. In Yochanan 14, verse 6. Nope, verse 4. It says, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. And the reason that I'm thinking about this scripture is because, you know, thinking about Yeshua and the way that he lived his life, okay? Thinking about the way that he lived his life, it just reminded me of this scripture because, you know, he's showing us what we need to do. His blood, his way of life, like it says here in verse 6, Yeshua proclaimed to him, I represent the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. So he represents the way of life that Yahweh wants us all to live. I represent that way. I represent Yahweh, right? Remember in Zechariah chapter 4, and it says the two anointed ones who stand for the supreme ruler of all the earth, right? They're Yahweh's representatives. They represent Yahweh. They're an example of the way that we should go. And remember, Pastor always tells us, you know, when we get to a certain point, when Yahweh is able to send us, we're gonna say, this is the way, walk you in it. Okay, this is what's going on right here. I represent that way. The truth, which is the laws and the prophecies, the truth, the laws of Yahweh. Yahweh is the truth. Okay, he's representing Yahweh and life. Okay, I represent those things. And so when you think about Yahweh's great plan from the beginning, and this will be my closing scripture. Okay, this will be my closing scripture. Yochanan 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the plan of Yahweh, and the plan was with Yahweh, and the plan was Yahweh's. The same plan was in the beginning with Yahweh. All things were done according to it, and without it, nothing was done that was done. And this plan was life. And remember, Yeshua said, I represent the way, the truth, and the life. And that life was the light to mankind. Now that light shines in the darkness, but the darkness does not take hold of it. And think about this, because remember in Isaiah, you know, pastor has been sent out as a light to the nations. Okay. And in these last days, that light is the light to mankind because he's the light that's in the world. Yeshua said, as long as I'm in the world, I am a light to the world. Okay. But now he's not on this world. He's not on earth. So right now that assignment has been given to pastor, okay, as a light to the nations. So his life represents that, or his life represents the way to Yahweh in these last days. And so if we obey the voice of Yahweh, then we will become children of light. May Yahweh bless your understanding. Yahweh bless your understanding. And if you all stand, I'll turn over to the next speaker, the great Kahan Yeshua Heiler.
Praise Yahweh. Please be seated. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I love the fact he left off with that scripture because that leads right into my sermon. The teachers of righteousness will shine as the brightness of the firmament. All right, be opening your books of Yahweh to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 1. How will the teachers of righteousness shine as bright as the firmament? In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 1, that's found on page 152. Now these are the laws, the statutes, and the judgments which Yahweh your Father has commanded me to teach you so that you may observe them in the land that you are crossing over to possess. Right? That word observe in Merriam-Webster's actually means to comply with. So it means to actually comply with instructions. All right, so if you remember the law of seek the house of Yahweh first, go to the place that Yahweh establishes, and do everything that you're instructed there to do. Observe, comply with the teachings. Actually follow the instructions given to you, so that your days may be long on the earth. Here in verse 7, and you must teach them diligently. What are we teaching diligently? The laws, the statutes, and these judgments. These things must be taught diligently to your children. This word children just doesn't mean the child that you bore yourself. This doesn't mean the children inside your household. The children means anyone who is willing to learn. Anyone who's wanting to learn from Yahweh, that's who we should be teaching. And you must talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk on the road and when you lie down and when you rise up. In other words, they should be at the forefront of your mind. Remember, pastors taught us about using the subconscious mind, right? If you fill it enough with righteousness, it starts to overflow from the subconscious and starts to come to the conscious. Now Spirit Holy is actually working through you, and now you're actually able to speak and teach and choose everything according to Yahweh's laws, perfectly, practicing self-control. The word diligently in Merriam-Webster's, it means characterized by steady, earnest, and energetic effort. Actually putting energy into it. Diligently teach these things, not just by words, but by example. This is how we actually put the effort. This is the energy that it takes. It's easy to teach someone else self-control. All right? Another definition for diligently is painstakingly. But it is very difficult for us to practice self-control for ourselves whenever our own emotions are involved. Whenever we're having to make choices that affect ourselves, then it becomes difficult. All right? Remember, teach them diligently to your children. Remember, Yeshua said we must humble ourselves like little child, being teachable. Allowing Yahweh's house to just mold us and shape us and put us into the image of Yahweh. We'll be turning over to Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5. It's on page 727. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5. It says, behold, I will send Ilya, the law, and the prophets. Now, the priest that just spoke before me covered this. What is Ilya? What is the strength of Yahweh? It's the laws, the prophets, the foundation that we were given. Everything that was laid before us from the foundations of the earth was given for this generation right here, which is the strength of Yahweh before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahweh. Right? And it will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Right? If you didn't come to the new moon, you missed an excellent video, all right? The video we showed at the new moon was actually talking about the heart and how it actually functions, how we actually use these things. And pastors brought all this stuff out before. But remember, the heart contains our desires, all right? That's where our desires come from. And that's what influences what we actually choose to do. But our hearts will be turned to our fathers and the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers before I come and strike the curse. Now, this isn't Yahweh striking the curse. This is before I allow these things to take place. This judgment, all right? In other words, this Leviathan, all these things are taking place. I'm going to allow the firmament to accomplish these things. There's a job that has to be done, and we're going to get deep inside those what's actually being done. But be turning over to Daniel chapter 12. I say we're going to get deep into it. It might have to be in the next time I speak. There's a lot to cover inside this. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3. It's found on page 684. And those who are wise will shine as the brightness of the heavens, and those who turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. All right, now Pastor actually said, and it's that those that make wise, those that teach. Those who teach others, all right, those that teach others will shine as the brightness of the heavens. And that word heavens actually means firmament, right? That's what the heavens actually represents, the expanse of the sky, the heavens, you know, all these things that pastors taught us about. They will shine as the firmament. And those who turn many to righteousness, those who are teaching, those who have been taught and are teaching others to do the same thing. those who turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. All right, now the stars, the seven eras of the lampstand. All right, Pastor, right before feast, gave a sermon. He said the seven-lamp lampstand, the complete plan of Yahweh, is a permanent fixture before Yahweh. A permanent fixture. This is something that Yahweh has. And remember, the great Kahan, he just finished with that scripture. In the beginning was the plan of Yahweh. In the beginning, all these things were done according to this. When Yahweh speaks of his marvelous works, look at the works that I've performed. Yes, he hung the stars in the sky and the moon and the sun in the sky, and he formed the earth and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Yahweh created all this. But that wasn't the greatest work that Yahweh did. All those things were created for the work you're sitting in right now. For those seven eras, for the completion of this work, everything that Yahweh created was for the purpose of serving mankind. It was for the purpose of us being able to shine like the firmament, to teach, to educate. All right, when you hear the word shine like the firmament, you know, all these things should be popping in our minds. All the sermons pastor's given, 777, those golden snowflakes being tested, refined, you know, put through the fire, brought forth, tested and proven that these people are capable of doing this job. And what job are they capable of doing? They're capable of making sure everything stays the original way that Yahweh created it. They're never looking to change it the way that science is trying to change these things. Be turning over to Eob, Yashub, chapter 37. Eob chapter 37 is found on page 431. In verse 18, now this is Yahweh speaking to Eob. All right, remember, Pastor gave us quite a few years ago an instruction to read the entire book of Eob, all right, the book of Yashub. And it was for a reason. All right, if you've ever taken time to research and look through the book of Eob, you can see so much knowledge the man had. So much understanding was inside this book. Stuff that scientists doesn't even understand today. The hidden things that Pastor's just barely touching the surface with right now, it's all in the book of Eob. And when you take here a little and there a little and allow all the writings of the prophets and the apostles and all these things, it makes a strong foundation. Now, sitting in a classroom and trying to get a child's attention and trying to get them interested in something that they're bored with is almost impossible. But this feast, Pastor brought up a remembrance. He remembered how it was done when he was a child, reading by the lamplight. You're reading by the lamplight. You're taking everything else, every distraction. Yes, that means parents, you have to put your cell phone out of the picture too. It has to be focused right here and now, but it has to be something that grabs the children's attention. When I was 16 years old and I was first finding out about the house of Yahweh, that's when Pastor was first bringing out about the genetic breeding programs. It's when he was first bringing out about Yahweh being a scientist and all these different things. And a lot of people left over this. But those are the things that grabbed my attention as a child and made me want to study, made me want to learn every single thing there was about this. Children, if you actually want to learn these things, parents, these are something great that you can sit around the lamplight and discuss. This is a great topic that you can actually have a conversation with, because you can actually discuss all these things that are written, all these things that are hidden that pastors taught us about. You can go through the books of Israel and just unfold all these things. And take everything that's been taught and you can start to understand what the book of Eob was actually all about. And verse 18, can you spread out the sky with him? All right, the word sky, all right, in Genesis chapter 1, it speaks of the expanse of the sky. This is speaking of the firmament. Remember the firmament, everything. Everything on earth has to do with inside that firmament. All right, Pastor gave the sermon. He was talking about a grape. When you break the skin on it, it starts to ferment. The cheese-making process, it's fermentation, all right? The sauerkraut, all these different things, it's part of the fermentation. It's these microscopic organisms working for us. You know, but as smart as Eob was, as intelligent as he was, he couldn't spread out the sky with him. He didn't have the ability to do these things. He says, can you spread out the sky with him? That is the firmament, which is as strong as a molten mirror, all right? As strong as a molten mirror. The word molten means it's actually been melted down and it's been made hard, all right? It's been made hard, just like us, tested and tried and perfect. In Genesis, Yahweh said, this is fitting. When he finished creation, he said, this is fitting. In other words, this is perfect. This can help mankind reach the goals that I set before them. Be turning over to Luke chapter 1. We're just going to tie this in with Malachi. Remember Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 through 6, we were talking about the strength of Yahweh, the law of Yahweh. Well, let's see here about another one. Now, this is actually speaking of Yochanan the Immerser, the one who prepared the way for Yeshua Messiah, who laid the foundation, who actually came preaching before Yeshua Messiah. This is found on page 780, Luke chapter 1. And we'll start here in verse 11. Then the Malak of Yahweh appeared to him there standing in front of the altar of incense. Now Zechariah, now this was Yochanan's father, saw him, and he was alarmed and fell upon in fear. The Malak said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call his name Yochanan." That is, Yahweh is merciful. "You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. And he will be great in the sight of Yahweh, and will drink neither wine nor strong drink for drink, for he will be filled with the Holy Spirit," or Spirit Holy, "even from his mother's womb." All right, so this is part of that genetic breeding program. If you remember, he was actually related to Yeshua Messiah. These things were bred into them, the ability to make the proper choices. They still had to make the choices, but everything they needed was set for them. In verse 16, "And he will turn many of the children of Israel to Yahweh, their father, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah." There you go, like Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. "He will go forth in the laws of Yahweh to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and to turn the disobedient to the understanding of the just, to make ready a people prepared for Yahweh." To make ready a people. That's the work. That's the work that Yahweh finds so much glory in. Yahweh says he won't give his glory to another. It's actually speaking of his work, the works of his hands, the people of Yahweh, the house of Yahweh itself. Returning back to Zechariah in chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8 is found on page 720. And look in verse 9. "This is what Yahweh of hosts says, 'Let your hands be strong, you who hear in these days these words by my mouth of the prophets, which were in that day the foundation of the house of Yahweh of hosts was laid, that the temple might be rebuilt. For before those days, there was no reward, no salvation." Right? Before those days, that's these days. Before these days, there was no salvation offered to this world. Remember, Yeshua said he went after the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This is the first time salvation's been offered from Abel here in these last days to this entire world. "Because the mouths of the ones who preached the reward of salvation of Yahweh were silent. There was no one to teach these things until this last generation. Neither was there any peace because of the enemy who turned every man each against his brother. But now I will not deal with the residue of this people as in the former days, says Yahweh of hosts. For the seed will grow successfully, the vine will give her fruit." Remember what Yeshua said? Who is the vine? Will give its fruit. "The ground will give her increase, and the heavens will give their due. I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these blessings." All right? The word "these blessings," that's actually added. When Yahweh says, "I will cause the people to possess all." I will cause the people to possess all. You know, not just these blessings, but all. Everything that Yahweh created, mankind will possess. We'll be turning over to Genesis chapter 1. One's qualified for that position right now, which is the Son of Man, Yeshua Messiah. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, "Then Yahweh said, 'I will make man in my image according to my likeness, and they will have rulership over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth.'" Now, it's very key. Pastors brought this out. We have to remember the kingdom of Yahweh just isn't a kingdom of human beings walking around. It's not a fleshly bodies. This is a kingdom of microscopic organisms that we are actually going to have rulership over. These are the things that we're actually going to work in unison with, that we're actually going to teach, that we're actually going to restore and actually bring the original creation of Yahweh back the way it was intended to be. We're going to be working with these microbes. Now look at verse 1. "In the beginning, Yahweh created the heavens and the earth." Now remember what was with Yahweh in the beginning? It was his plan, right? The plan of Yahweh, right? That plan, this lampstand right here, represents the complete plan of Yahweh. It's a permanent fixture before Yahweh. That's what Yahweh's goal is, right? All these things that you find here in Genesis were created for him to achieve that goal, of having that family, of having a holy priesthood. In verse 2, now the earth became without form and empty, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of Yahweh was hovering over the face of the waters. Now this is where pastors taught us that this is where the earth was trespassed on. This is where the sons of Yahweh, they actually turned against Yahweh and they actually brought disease. They brought this type of war, this system, this Leviathan that we see in these last days. They brought this upon the earth. And Yahweh said, let there be light, and there was light. All right? All right? When Yahweh talks about giving light, when you're learning light in the house of Yahweh, you know, you're just not taught. You're actually taught how to use it. And that's the difference between the way of the world. The world, it teaches, it gives you, it gives you wisdom and stuff and teaches you things that you could learn, you know, and knowledge, but it never actually gives you the understanding on how to use it to actually teach someone else. You know, that's what it's all about. That's what the kingdom of Yahweh is all about. Learning how to do something and then being capable of teaching someone else how to do it exactly the way you were taught to do. That's what we're here for. So in other words, it's giving structure. Having a structured routine that gives you something to help your mind focus. And Yahweh saw the light that it was beneficial, and Yahweh divided between the light and between the darkness. And Yahweh called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and then the morning were the first day. Very important right there. All right? And Yahweh said, let there be an expanse between the waters, and let there be a separation between the waters from the watchers. All right? The expanse of the sky. This is speaking of that firmament. So Yahweh made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. And Yahweh called the expanse sky, and the evening and then the morning were the second day. And Yahweh said, let the waters under the sky be gathered to one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And Yahweh called the dry land earth, and he gathered waters, and he called the seas. And Yahweh saw that it was fitting. He saw all these things were exactly what he wanted them to become. For what reason? Well, after all these things were done, then Yahweh said, let the earth produce vegetation. So all these things had to be done in order. There had to be a plan. So Yahweh's main goal is to create a family of righteous beings who chooses righteousness. But it had to start in the beginning. So he had to have these little mini goals in order to reach his main goal. And all these things was to get us to that point. Without the expanse of the sky, without the firmament being in place, without the sun and the moon and the stars and all these things, and without the waters being there, it was impossible for Yahweh to bring forth vegetation, seed-bearing plants. Why were they created? To bring forth for mankind. All these things were done for mankind to be successful. Be turning over to Psalm chapter 8. Psalm chapter 8. It's on page 437 in verse 1. How excellent is your great name in all the earth, Yahweh our sovereign King. You have your glory firmly set above the starry frame of the heavens. Your glory, all right? Remember, the glory of Yahweh, it's actually speaking of this work. This work, yes. All the works of Yahweh, the creation, the heavens and the earth and everything, those are marvelous things. None of us could do those things. And there was no God with Yahweh when he did these things. Yahweh says, I did these things. The gods were nothing but created beings who turned against me. But I did these things. I created these things. But all these things I created, that's not my glory. That's not what my end goal is. Those things that I created that you are marveled at every time you stare at it, those things are created for a purpose, for the purpose of bringing mankind to perfection. From the mouths of babes in verse 2, and suckling strength by you is ordained, so you would steal the enemy and the avenger would be crushed. He says, when we consider your heavens, the work your fingers have framed, the work of the moon and of the stars which were by you ordained? What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the Malachim, but you will crown him with glory and honor. The glory of Yahweh. These positions, all right, the ability to actually teach and educate and maintain life, to bring forth life and maintain it the way Yahweh intended it to be done. You made man to be ruler over the works of your hands, and you put all things, and that's where we were talking about earlier in the book of Zechariah, where it says all things, yes, all things. You put all things under his feet, all the sheep and oxen, yes, the beasts of the field, all the fowls of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatever passes through the rivers and the seas will be under the rule of man. How excellent is your great name in all the earth, Yahweh, King of the world. And do we start to understand the reasoning that Yahweh says we have to teach these things diligently? Well, first, in order to teach them, you have to learn them. You have to be taught. You have to be educated. And then you have to remember the definition of the word teach. Diligently. Diligently. Right? With energy. It means putting effort into it, which means actually doing it yourself. Painstakingly doing this. Going through tests and trials. If we weren't going through tests and trials, Yahweh couldn't trust us. He allows us to go through these tests and trials to allow us to be refined like gold, right? Molten, burned, made stronger, so that we could shine like the firmament itself. Turning over to Psalm chapter 104. Psalm chapter 104, starting in verse 19. This is found on page 475. Here's some things that you can marvel at, all right? I'm just going to discuss this right here. It'll probably be the end of my sermon. We're just going to break off and discuss this right here because it's so important to understand what Yahweh's actually done within the last 2 years here in Yahweh's house. There's a marvelous work that's taking place. We've just never noticed it. Well, maybe we did notice it, but we might have griped and complained about the test of having to deal with it. All right. Here in verse 19, he says, "You appointed the moon for setting the feast." We all know that, right? Yes. Does the world know that? No. Why doesn't the world know that? Because they're missing one thing. If this will show up. What is Yahweh's sacred calendar based off of? Lunar. What is the entire world based off of? Solar. Exactly. Right? Now, scientists will tell you that the Earth, everything revolves around the sun. The Earth is billions of years old, and the Earth is 93,000 miles away from the sun, and we're rotating around the sun at a time of 365 days a year, and that's what their entire system is based off of. Their calendar year is based off of a 365-day period. From 12 p.m. to 12 p.m., that's their days, all right? Do you understand the importance of actually having this calendar? Pastor taught us about getting the names of the gods out of our mouths. All right, the Gregorian calendar is based on what? Sun worship. Did we ever notice that? All this was based on sun worship. Everything was based on everything except what Yahweh said. Yahweh said, "You set my feast by my moons, the new moon of green ears." This is how you set these appointed feasts. Finally, the calendar of Yahweh has been restored. It's finally brought back to the way Yahweh intended it to be. And I'll be the first one to admit, I'm still struggling with it, to be honest. I'm not going to joke about it. It's a test, right? But remember, Yahweh says to come out from among them and be separate, right? Not only in words, but in deeds, right? That entire system, this entire system of Leviathan, if we can understand what that is, this entire system is mourning because it's fading away, all right? It's mourning and fading away, but there is a light that's shining in these last days. We're turning over to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 22. It's found on page 555. "It is he who sits above the circle of the earth." Remember, Pastor said the circle is actually representing what? The firmament, right? The circle that Yahweh sits above. It's the firmament of the earth. "And its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in." Right? This is speaking of the firmament, the ozone, everything that Yahweh created for mankind to exist, for the earth to bring forth vegetation in order to produce food for mankind. All right? "He who sits," that word "sits" actually means to judge. Remember Pastor talked about they sit at the gates, the judges, they sit in a position, a governing position, judging. Right? It also means to lurk. When you look at the Strong's Hebrew definition, it means to dwell. It's a Strong Hebrew definition, word number 3427, to dwell, to sit down, lurking. Lurking, from Merriam-Webster's, means to be concealed, but capable of being discovered, to lie hidden, to actually see these things. Yahweh sees us on the sea of glass. He has the plan of Yahweh permanently fixed before him, the seven errors of the work of Yahweh. He sees these things. Yahweh knows these. Now, Pastor brought out, I believe it was in 2007, I may be mistaken on that, but he brought out about the inhabitants of the earth are like grasshoppers. That's not speaking of us. The inhabitants Yahweh's speaking of isn't just the human beings. It's speaking of those microscopic organisms. And he said they look like grasshoppers. That's what this scripture is actually talking about. Not only do they look like grasshoppers, but with Yahweh's eyes, he's capable of seeing these things the same way we do grasshoppers. We have to have magnification in order to see those creeping things that creeps. And we still can't see all of them. But to Yahweh, he sees these things very plain. Yahweh said, just like looking down into a septic and you see the maggots doing their work, Yahweh looks at the earth and sees these microscopic organisms doing their work. And they're like grasshoppers. And when he brought this out, people laughed. And he said, you're laughing, so I know you don't understand what I'm talking about. He said, I've taught you these things for years. You just have to bring it to your remembrance. You have to sit in your house and talk about these things. When you lie down, when you rise up, all these things are here. If you want something that grabs your attention, you want something that you can actually focus on and never put the book down, trust me, I was awake at 1 o'clock this morning just thinking on these things. I had no idea I was speaking this morning, but all this stuff was going through my mind. And by 3 a.m., everything sounded perfect, all right? It probably wasn't perfect, but in my mind, I was convinced it was going to be perfect. You know, but just rehearsing these things over and over, trying to see, making sure that everything you teach is exactly what you've been taught. Isaiah 24, 1 through 6, the inhabitants of the earth. Very important to understand all these things. Let all these things come together. If you can sit here and piece the puzzle that Yahweh's laid before us, that pastor brings forth to us, and you put effort into trying to solve this huge puzzle that's laid out before us, you have no time for anything else. This is the greatest entertaining thing you can possibly have to where your mind can't rest. Praise Yahweh. Isaiah 24, 1 through 6, it says, behold, Yahweh makes the earth empty and makes it waste, perverts the face of it and scatters abroad its inhabitants. Now, Yahweh doesn't make this. Mankind, the inhabitants of the earth, make it this way. And it will be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his owner, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with him who takes usury, so with him who gives usury to him. The land will be utterly emptied and utterly plundered, for Yahweh has spoken this word. In other words, he is allowing these things to take place. Pastor actually said the microscopic organisms are going to testify against us. Those who are sinning, these microscopic organisms testify against us. And if you just go back and listen to the sermons, and he'll explain to you why the law says to bury your excrement and what the earth actually decides is the nutrients that need to go back into your diet and everything that it puts back into the food just by the recycling process that Yahweh created. It's amazing when you think about these things and everything that Yahweh did for us. Now here it gets a little confusing. The earth mourns and fades away and the world mourns and fades away. That's a little redundant, isn't it? Of course it's not. The word world actually means universe. It means the microscopic organisms. It means the firmament. These things are fading away. Mankind is destroying the firmament. They're crying out. They're mourning. Remember what the word Leviathan meant? Mourning microscopic organisms. They're crying out because they can't do their job anymore. They're carrying a burden that they weren't meant to keep. Mankind has defiled the earth so much that our sins have now reached into the heavens. Global warming, these things that were brought forth, what is the true cause of global warming? It's the actions of mankind. The earth is defiled under the inhabitants of it, and that means by, because of the actions that we do, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, and broken the everlasting covenant. Now, what laws did they change? What ordinance did they change? How was Yahweh's feast set? According to the new moons, lunar. What did they change when they created the Gregorian calendar? They took all these things away that Yahweh had set in order to set your feast. The very things that show that we belong to Yahweh, they used these names of gods. They used this system, this Leviathan, in order to change people's minds and actually pull them away, to actually deceive them into thinking, this is the way the world works. No, it's not. Scripture plainly shows how it works. And Scripture shows that Yahweh's time is kept perfectly. Since the beginning, Yahweh's time has been kept perfectly because it's based off of his system. The sun was given for daylight, for laboring. You know, that's what sunlight was for. It's so mankind could labor. Scripture plainly shows that. Then the sun sets. The moons were given to set the feast by. The months. The stars for certain days and other things. You can actually see these things and actually tell the time of the certain times of years and stuff just by the way the stars are set inside the sky. All of these things were set by Yahweh. Mankind decided to change those things and they can't keep their time straight. They have to keep adjusting their time. Every year they have to make this, oh, let's extend a couple hours, let's take this hour away, and well, let's do this, and then let's do that. Well, let's keep adjusting. Well, we have to keep doing these things because they can't do it, because it's not the original way Yahweh created. They're fools, groping around in the dark. Colossians chapter 2, 16. What ordinance did they change? Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, page 926. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 16, what ordinance did they change? You know, the new moon is actually an ordinance of Yahweh, the keeping of the feast. Therefore, let no man condemn you for doing these things, eating and drinking in the observance of a feast day or of a new moon or of the Sabbath day. Let no man condemn you of these things. That word condemn actually means to cause you to fall away. Let no one cause you to fall away by condemning you for keeping the feast of Yahweh, for keeping these new moons, which are a shadow from things to come for the body of Messiah. Now, the King James Version right there, if you remember, Pastor brought this out. He said, the King James Version says, which are a shadow of things to come. It's not of, it's from. It is a shadow from things to come for the body of Messiah. It says, let no man deprive you of your reward. Actually doing it on purpose, but as though in humility of mind, through religious worship of gods, intruding into things they do not know nor understand. No, they don't know how to change the times and the feast days. They have no common sense on how to do these things. Yahweh said this was fitting. I created the moon. I created the sun. I created the stars. I created everything inside the firmament and everything that I set above it and everything I set below it. Every creeping thing that creeps. It was fitting. It was perfect for mankind. Until mankind defiled it. Be turning over to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66, and this is found on page 572, and verse 17. They who sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens and follow after the priests in the midst of those who eat swine's flesh, that which is offered to gods and the rodent will be consumed together, says Yahweh. And verse 18, for I know their works and their thoughts, and it will come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they will come and see my glory. They will come and see my glory again. I will gather these people. They will see my glory. Right, this time right here is actually speaking of the same time period that's in Revelation 20, the first resurrection. That's what this is talking of. I will set a sign among them, and those among them who escape, I will send to the war-waging nations. Tarshish, Pul, to Lud, to Tubal, to Yavan, and to the coastland afar off who have not yet heard my fame, nor have seen my glory, and they will declare my glory among the Gentiles. Remember, those heathen nations. And they will bring all of your brothers for an offering. There you go. That's speaking of that first resurrection. Out of all nations of horses and chariots and litters, on mules and camels, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, a city of peace, to my holy mountain, the house of Yahweh. Says Yahweh, just as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of Yahweh, and I will also take for them to be priests and Levites. I will take among them to be servants. Servants. Just like the microbes, that service, I'm going to bring these people forth and allow them to serve in Yahweh's kingdom. For the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, will remain before me, says Yahweh. So your seed and your name will remain. What is the name that's going to remain forever? Yahweh. It's the authority. The authority that Yahweh gives to mankind. High priest over the house of Yahweh. Hebrews chapter 10 is Yahshua Messiah. Working directly with someone who's pouring golden oil into the seventh lamp lampstand. Right? Remember, we started off in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3. We were speaking of shining. Right? They will shine like the firmament. Be turning over to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 4. I believe it's chapter 4. Yes, chapter 4 and verse 14. Then he said, these are the two anointed ones. Who are the two anointed ones? Remember, Revelation chapter 11. These are the two anointed ones that stand for the supreme ruler. All right, who stand? Remember what that word stand means? Ministers. These are the two anointed ones that minister. All right. So the teachers of righteousness, they're going to shine like the firmament. They're going to stand, they're going to minister, they're going to do their jobs. Then he said, these are the two anointed ones who stand for the supreme ruler, who minister before the whole earth. They minister, they teach, they bring forth this kingdom. And how are they doing it? And I spoke to him in verse 12 and said to him, what are these two olive branches which through the golden pipes empty the golden oil through them? He answered and he said to me, do you not know what these are? And he said, no, my ruler. These are the two anointed ones, the same one spoken of in Revelation chapter 11. The word anointed, it means to press out oil. They were appointed to do this job, to press out oil, to shine, to glisten like a light, like the firmament. These things, if we seek the house of Yahweh, we go to Yahweh's house, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 5 through 8, and we stop doing whatever we think is right within our own minds, and we allow Yahweh's house to shape us and to mold us and to make us into his image in Genesis chapter 1:26. And in Deuteronomy chapter 17, we go to the priest who is in office at this time, and we ask at Abel, what is it shall I do so that I can prove myself worthy to be part of this great microscopic kingdom, to help teach and to educate it and to maintain it and to bring it back to perfection? You do whatever the house of Yahweh instructs you to do. That's how you do it. Diligently, remember, Yahweh says you must observe. Remember that word observe? It means to comply. You go to the house of Yahweh and you comply with every instruction you're given so you can teach others through earnest effort, diligently and painstakingly, how to achieve the same goal, how to reach that perfection before Yahweh. With that, if you'll please stand. I have the great honor and privilege to turn the services over to the great Kahan Malakia.
Well, praise Yahweh. You may be seated, saints of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of this sermon is, Let Us Make Yahweh Make Us Whom He Wants Us to Be, the Seed of Abraham, Seed of Israel. So we're going to start off. Let's turn up to page 491. Page 491. We're going to look at Psalms 139. You say, oh Yahweh, you have examined us thoroughly, and you know us. You know when we sit down and when we rise up. You comprehend our every thought from a distance. You inquire into our going out, and you scrutinize our lying down. And scrutinize mean we look. He examines us very closely. This is what he's speaking about here. Let's go to verse 13. Yes, you created our inmost being. You cover us in our mother's womb. We praise you, for we are, it's a fearfully, but is distinguished and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your words, as we know very well. Our frames were not hidden from you when we were being formed in secret. And this being formed in secret, this doesn't mean, well, look, no one didn't know when, you know, our parents or our mom was pregnant or anything like that. This means that no one knew, or what basically it's saying, that it means that he carefully selected us. That's what form in secret means. He carefully selected us in the womb, skillfully woven together in the depth of the earth. You see, your eyes saw our unframed substance. You're speaking about the microorganism, the proteins, the genes, the genetic makeup. that Yahweh put in each and every one to bring us where we are right now. But in your book are all the days ordained for us. That means our total lifespan were written even before one day even existed for us. So we could see how awesome Yahweh really is. That kind of mind he really have. And this is what Pastor is going through right now, showing us with his subconscious mind. These individuals, like Adam and Eve, they actually had to have that form of subconscious mind. But the whole point is we have to understand how great Yahweh mind really is. Right? To form someone and to put certain things in us. That is over, astonishing. And this is the mind Yahweh actually want to actually give us. This is what every one of us is striving here for. Let's look over to Kefa. First Kefa. Page 958. Okay, yeah. Page 958. First Kefa 2. Let's read from let's look at from 10 and 11. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you would show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, whom in time past were not a people, but are now the people of Yahweh, or who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And I see this is what Yahweh is calling us for, to be that, priesthood. Let's look at Kefa, 2 Kefa. 2 Kefa. Let's look at let's start from verse 1. Shimon Kefa, a servant and apostle of Yahshua Messiah, to those who have ordained the same precious faith with us through the righteousness of Yahweh our Father and our Savior, Yahshua Messiah. Let Yahshua Messiah, love and peace be multiplied to you through the full knowledge of Yahweh and of Yahshua our King. As his holy power have granted to us all things that pertain to life and holiness, through the full knowledge of him who called us to glory and virtue, through which exceedingly great and precious promises have been given to us by him, in order that through these you may be partakers of that holy nature, to escape the corruption in the world. Well, this word nature here is word number 5459 from 5453, or which means to germinate or grow. To germinate or grow, sprout, produce, literally or figuratively spring up. All right, so with that in mind, let us go to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Okay, let us look at from verse, let's just look at verse 1 to 3. Now Yahweh said to Abram, get out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house, to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Now, how do we bless Abraham? We bless Abraham by having that same desire to live that same lifestyle that Abraham lived. That's how we bless Abraham. By having that same desire to live as Abraham lived. Now let us go to Let's look at 18, Genesis 18. Let's just look at, let's go from 17. And Abraham said, and Yahweh said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nation of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have chosen him so that he might command his children. Listen what he's saying here. For I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household. It said after him. So we say not only when Abraham was alive, but we're talking about the generation coming right down to us right now. Right? So with that in mind, so basically what he's saying, he's speaking about a royal priesthood, right, and a holy nation. Let's go quick to Yohanan 8. Yohanan 8, 37. Yohanan 8, 37. And this is what Yeshua is speaking here. He said, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my words, the teaching pertaining to the laws and the prophet, have no place in you. I speak what I have seen proceeding from my father, and you do what you have seen proceeding from your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Yeshua said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you will do the work of Abraham. Right? You will do the work of Abraham. So we see in Yeshua distinguishing between Abraham's children and Abraham's descendants. So let us go to Genesis. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Let's look at just 18 for sake of time. He said, through your seed, all the nation of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. And we see this is the key thing with Abraham. Right? Abraham obeyed the voice of Yahweh. And if we are to be Abraham's children or Abraham's seed, we have to do the same thing. We have to obey the voice of Yahweh. Right? We have to obey the voice of Yahweh, and we know who the voice of Yahweh is right now. Right? Who is the voice of Yahweh? That's right. And if anyone have a problem with that, they have a problem with the kingdom of Yahweh. Basically, they have a problem with the kingdom of Yahweh. Okay, with that in mind, let us go quickly to Isaiah 44. And keep the word seed in our mind, please. Isaiah 44. He said, yet now, hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. This is what Yahweh said, who made you and formed you from the womb. So you see, going back to Psalms, skillfully woven. Right? And this is what it's going back to. Psalms 139, skillfully woven in our mother's womb. He said, and form you from the womb. Or who will help you? Do not be afraid, Jacob, my servant, and Israel, beloved Israel, who I have appointed. For I will pour water upon him who is thirsty and flood upon the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit upon your seed. So we see in the seed of Abraham and the seed of Israel Hawkins. Now, the word seed from Abraham and the same word seed in Isaiah 44 is Hebrew word 22:33 from 22:32. And it means to disseminate, figuratively disseminate. Now keep that in mind, and let's go back. Let's go to Yohanan 6:44, where Yahshua said, now keep this in mind, please. Yahshua said, no one can come to me unless the Father who have sent me draw him, and I will establish him or them as a priest or priesthood in the last days. Now keep this in mind. No one can come to Yahshua unless Yahweh draws that individual. Now this word disseminate means to spread something, especially information, widely. From Collins Dictionary, to disseminate information or knowledge means to distribute it so that it reaches many people, organization. So we see this is how the seed is being called. This is how Abraham's seed is being called, by sending out this message. Now, pastor is sending out the message to the world that what sin bring, so people can repent, but it also sends out the message so Abraham's seed could hear that message and understand the lifestyle that Abraham lived, and in agreement, try to live that same lifestyle. And the only how Abraham's seed can live that lifestyle is by coming to the house of Yahweh. That's the only way, because Abraham obeyed the voice of Yahweh. So we can see that the two Abraham's seed is the same Israel seed. Now, he said, will I hide this plan from Abraham? Now, but the word seed of Abraham and those who can are those who can activate Abraham genes, right? That is in us, right? Abraham seed are those who can activate Abraham genes that is in us. Now, how these genes are really activated? Someone had to be very humble and submissive. Coming to the house and being humble and submissive. Now, I don't know if everyone can see this book here. The Biology of Belief, Unleashing the Power of Subconsciousness, Matter, and Miracle. And this book was written by Bruce Lipton. Right? Now, to understand what he's saying here, we have to have the plant genealogy in our mind. Right? The plant genealogy in our mind. Now, what I would like to share. Let me see if I can find my notes here. Yeah, but basically, what I would like to go into is what Pastor had covered a little bit in plant genealogy. Now, what we're going to look at. Now, reading certain pages or certain chapter from this book, right? Bruce Lipton went on to say we need to understand DNA and how it fits into our cells. Of the 50 trillion cells in our body, each one contains about 6 lineage feet of DNA. So how do we fit that amount of genetic material into something so small of a cell nucleus, or which is 400,000 times smaller? Well, it's by wrapping our DNA around the cluster of protein called histone. Now, what we have to remember is the human body is made up of millions amount of protein. Right? Millions amount of protein. He said, you can think of the histone like molecular spools. There are about 30 million of these spools in each of our cells. The combination of histone and DNA is called chromatin. And to get a little idea what it's speaking about here, right now, this is the cell membrane. This whole picture here, the cell membrane. And showing the nucleus DNA, showing the chromosome inside of it. This is basically the same picture. But where we're going to go is inside here, this area here. You see the chromatina? This is what did she just say here. The combination of histone and DNA is called chromatina. Right? So this area we're going to look at. You see, the functioning unit of DNA are actually the genes encoded in it. These are the structures. These are the instruction for the cell. They are what tells the cell what to do and who to become. When these genes are tightly compacted into the chromatin structure, the cells is unable to read them. This is where epigenetics comes in. I don't know how many of you are familiar with that term, epigenetics. How many of you are familiar with that term? Epigenetics. Okay, praise Yahweh. Now, epi means on top of, and genetics, that means your genes, literally referring to a set of instructions that sit down on the top of the DNA and our histone. Epigenetics marks are small. When I say chemical, but it's basically, as Pastor shows, is microorganism attacks which sit down on our chromatin and can help instruct it whether to compact or to decompact. And those instructions can then affect how the cell read the underlying genes encoded in the DNA. All right, let me show you another picture here. Right, so we're looking at again. This here is the histone. This blue part here. Everyone seen that? This blue part here. And this is the DNA. Right, that wrap itself around the chromatin. Not the chromatin, the histone. Forming a combination, two of them together, is what called the chromatin. Now, you see the epigenetic marks are these marks. Right? Red mark here and the green mark. Now, when you receive, this is what is governing the whole cell. Now, this epigenetics mark, all right, let me continue reading. It says, our epigenetic mark shows here in green can help these epigenetic marks show here in green can and help decondense the chromatin. So it's saying these green marks can decondense the chromatin. And when they do this, the genes become accessible to the cell. The cell is able to read it and turn it on. So we're seeing, well, these epigenetics, basically what it's doing, it can turn on and turn off the genes. Basically, that is what it's doing. It can turn on and turn off the genes. Now, Abraham's genes were receptive. The genes that Abraham had that passed down to us. Now, these genes, what it's saying here, these genes, according to the epigenetics in that cell, the only way that those cell or Abraham genes could be turned on, it had to be by a specific signal. And this is what Bruce Lipton said. He said that these genes, because he went into to two types of protein, he called receptors and effectors. Receptors are basically, the largest one is our eye, ears, nose, mouth. Right? If you check seven complete. But on our skin also, these receptors is what receive signal, right, from the environment that channel it straight into our cells. So with that in mind, we say, well, look, what does that have to do with scripture? And one of the great priests just mentioned it here, when Elizabeth met Miriam. Now remember, in that area, that environment that they were living in, all they were speaking about is the laws and prophecies of Yahweh. Right? So in those days, the main prophecies was the birth of the Savior. Right? And how this genetics operates by getting that signal from outside. When Miriam told Elizabeth she was pregnant, what occurred? That's right. The baby moved. That is how that signal was passed on from the outside environment to the inside environment. Because the main prophecies was the birth of the Savior. So we could see how this epigenetic works, and it sent that signal, those receptors send those signals to the baby, to Yaknana. Now let's look at something else again. Let us look at Deuteronomy 22. As I mentioned, you know, to understand this, we have to keep in mind the plant genealogy that Pastor went through. Deuteronomy 22. Well, what does have to do? Remember, Pastor went through some sermons, and he was speaking, you know, that is when he separated the man from the one, and he was speaking certain things to us, or giving us certain understanding. Let's look at Deuteronomy 22. Let's look at verse 5. It said, a woman must not wear that which pertains to a man, and a man must not put on a woman's garment. All who do so are an abomination to Yahweh our Father. So we see when an individual, a man, put on a woman's garment, it dealing with the same receptors that will relay that message inside the cellar. Right, so we could see this guy actually showing us the science behind what Pastor is teaching us. Right, and vice versa. If a woman put on what pertains to a man, it relates the same, those receptors, the skin. Right, receptors. Let me show you a picture. It relates that same information into our body and starts sending out signal. Everyone can see this? Okay, you see receptors. You see where it is? Just all these tentacles under the skin. So when you put on a woman garment, it sends that signal into the body. Right? And it starts after a period of time, you know what goes on? With a woman, you know, start calling her, well, look, she starts doing manly stuff, calling her a tomboy. Right? And these are teaching that come from Pastor. This is the intricate teaching that come from Pastor. Now let us go back to Abraham genes. Now in activating to activate Abraham genes, right? Yahshua made a statement. He said, no one can come to me unless Yahweh draws that individual. That's one of the key things. We have to be drawn by Yahweh to come to Yahshua, to Israel Hawkins. Yahshua said, let's go to the scripture. Yohanan 10:27. He said, my sheep hears my voice. Say, my sheep hears my voice. And I think Pastor had mentioned what this word voice means. Right? It goes back to telephone. Not telephone, but phone. Everyone remember that when he had said that? This word voice goes back to phone, right? Now, this word voice is Hebrew word 5456. It means phone, it means a tone, it means sound. Song is a vibration that travels through the ear or anything medium. When I say medium, but it means something that carries it. And can be heard when they reach the person's ear. So what this is saying is, my sheep hear my voice. Now, Collins Dictionary, okay. Now, that word voice, right? Now, as Bruce Lipton said, it have to be the surrounding or the environment that we live in. So this environment, to activate Abraham genes, it must have a signaler, because this is what you're saying. What activates this gene is a signaler. And this is the signaler. This voice, that's why it said, my sheep hear my voice. Right? My sheep hear my voice. And the voice that Yeshua was speaking about is who? Israel Hawkins. So the only way these Abraham genes can be activated is by through that signal, which is the voice of Israel Hawkins. And if we are in the house of Yahweh, the only how we could beat Abraham's seed is by listening to that voice and humbling ourselves to that voice. Otherwise, those genes in that we have in Abraham will not be switched on. It's not going to be switched on. Right? So this is what Bruce Lipton was saying here. This epigenetics, what controlling those genes. And right now, those genes could be switched off. And not until we come to the house of Yahweh, sit down at the feet of Israel Hawkins, humble ourselves, and being obedient to him, those genes is going to be switched on. That is where we become the seed of Abraham and the offspring of Abraham. Now, if some point in time, we start to go against Israel Hawkins, guess what is going to take place? Guess what is going to take place? That's right. Those genes is going to be switched off. Switched off. So if we want to make it into the kingdom of Yahweh, what we have to do? Humble ourselves to him. Humble ourselves to him. Yahweh told us he sent us a mighty priest, and this is how these genes could actually be turned on. Right? This is how these genes will turn on. So keep these things in mind. As the first scripture, one of the first scripture I read from Psalm, you know, Yahweh know every single intricate part of us. He is the one that actually framed us, put us together. So he know exactly what it have in us that we could be, or we could qualify for that kingdom of Yahweh. Right? Yes, everyone is Abraham descendants, but not until we come to the house of Yahweh, humble ourselves in this environment. That's why Pastor mentioned so many times, you know, come out of her. That's why Yahweh said, come out of her. Come to Abel. Yes, people will be living out of Abel, and you'll be getting little nourishment, you know, but not until we move here to Abel, we'll be getting that full signal. Because here in Abel, the only thing we speak here in Abel is Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. You know, so continuously feeding that signal. Continuously feeding that signal. That is where that genes, Abraham genes, will be just keep on opening more and more and more and more. And that is how we will be ready to come, the seed of Abraham and the seed of Israel Hawkins. But this book is a very interesting book. Because he covered not only what I spoke about, but a lot of different things that Pastor spoke about in plant genealogy. So with that, may Yahweh bless your understanding. And I can turn it over to the great Kahan Kanaf Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title for my sermonette, and there's been some great information to come across already this morning, is prepping for the Feast of Pentecost. Okay, prepping for the Feast of Pentecost. It's something that we really need to pay attention to and to get all of these things accomplished in this time period. Today is the 20th day of the Omer count, which leaves us 30 days remaining. It's the sixth day of the second moon, Abel. Now, a lot of where this sermon comes from is out of the 18th book of Yisro. This was about 6 months ago. Pastor gave a sermon And even the great Kahan Benjamin Krause had mentioned when he spoke on that same Sabbath that this word, start prepping, these two words, start prepping, is 1074 in the Gematria. You know, so we know right there, you know, it's got Yahweh's tag, got pastor's tag, you know, which is Yahweh's righteous blessing in our ability to be able to do this. And we just need to find a way to educate ourselves in a way of trying to put the work and the house of Yahweh and each and every one that is within the house of Yahweh as the forefront, to the forefront of our mind. If you would, please be turning over to Yaakov 1:17, found on page 953. Okay, page 953. Yaakov 1:17. Okay, now keeping all of this in mind now of the Feast of Pentecost, in verse 17, every righteous gift and every perfect gift is from above, you know. And if you think about that, like Pastor put, you know, in the side note there, you know, you can turn over to Yaakov 3:15 and see what is not righteous. You know, this is our total desire, you know, to have everything as a righteous gift or a perfect gift would be total righteousness. Okay, and this only comes from Yahweh. And, of course, the only way it comes from Yahweh is to believe into the one sent who is in connection with the great high priest, Yeshua Messiah. So, once again, every righteous gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of light with whom there is no variation. You know, Yahweh's plan is from the beginning. There's no changing anything in it. You know, we're not going to change anything in it. You know, all we need to do is just conform to it. Okay? There's no variation nor shadow of turning. And the first thing that comes to my mind with that word shadow is protection. Okay? And in verse 18, of his own will, and of course we're speaking of Yahweh here, he begot us with the word of truth, the law and the prophets, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures, you know, or of his creation. And just think about it, you know, I mean, of course, the apostle here was, you know, speaking. He had an audience and he was teaching. But this message is strictly for us, you know, the message. And as he was teaching, you know, I'm sure that there was things that were not written here that showed that it was for a lot of time. You know, we have to become a conform to this image of Yahweh to be his first fruits. Okay? Turn back to page 916. We're going to go to Ephesians. Page 916. Again, keeping all of this in mind, because what we're going to cover right now is actually a lot of what was covered before in the earlier sermons. And we're going to cover the fact of the first fruits, also the inheritance, showing that we're redeemed by Yahweh from mankind. This is only for the house of Yahweh. We're actually sealed by this Holy Spirit, and there's a lot in the Spirit being poured out, which is the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding of Yahweh's laws in order to be perfect as Yahweh is. Okay? And, you know, we're going to be presented to Yahweh in perfect unity with Yahweh and Yeshua by only one individual. And, of course, that's Pastor. Okay, so let's go. It's chapter 1, verse 11. Okay, chapter 1, verse 11. And whom also we are allotted an inheritance. And we see this word inheritance here. You know, Yahweh allowed us to be this inheritance. You know, not everyone is called. And now Pastor has, you know, said of late, you know, that in the book of Revelation, those that have an ear to hear is a part of their calling. You know, that's what's so important about getting this message out in the way that we have, especially through the internet. Okay? So we are allotted an inheritance, being preordained as He, Yahweh, set forth, as all things work according to the purpose of His plan. Of Yah, it keeps going back, you know, to this plan that Yahweh, the plan of Yahweh, that we were a part of, okay? In order that we, having first trusted in Messiah, would become a praise of His glory. Now, there was nothing that we knew that gave us any indication of what Yahshua Messiah was like until we came to the house of Yahweh and we were taught, you know, by the house of Yahweh, you know, by the one sent, you know, we could see it in Yahweh's character. You know, all of Yahweh's character is what we witness in Yahshua in the scriptures here. Okay? In order that we, having first trusted in Messiah, would become a praise of His glory, in whom you also trusted, hearing the word of truth, the law and the prophets. You know, this all came to our mind and our heart, and we grew in it. We're actually still growing in it as we endure in the house of Yahweh. The message of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit, okay, previously promised, okay, which is the deposit. Now, think about this now. This is the deposit, our sealing, and pastors even talked lately about it's our job to seal others as we were sealed, okay? So which this sealing is the deposit guaranteeing what we will inherit until the redemption of all purchased possessions to the praise of His glory. It's like what Pastor said, there probably could be two or three sermons, you know, on that one scripture there. Now, like I mentioned earlier, you know, we're going to be presented, and we actually have been presented, you know, to Yahweh by Pastor, you know, in the times during the feast. So let's go turn back to page 863. Okay, page 863 in the book of Acts. We're going to read chapter 20, verse 32. Okay, now this is an example of how Shaul offered, you know, his congregation to Yahweh. Okay, in verse 32, well, let's go up. Verses, he's warning that congregation, as pastors always warned us, about those that desire to deceive. Now look at verse 28. Therefore, be on guard for yourselves and the whole flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to feed the called out ones of Yahweh, which Yahshua has purchased with His own blood. For I know this, that after my departing, grievous wolves will enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And just think about this departing now. You know, we can look at this departing as when we leave the sanctuary at the end of Sabbath. You know, hey, if we go back out in the world, we are being turned over to nothing but a bunch of grievous wolves. Okay, so be on guard. It's not, you know, we have to continually be on guard. You know, this is the only way that we're not only going to save ourselves, allow ourselves to be saved, but also to save others. Okay, so he continues on there. Let's see here. Okay, I'll read 29 again. For I know this, that after my departing, grievous wolves will enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also among your own selves will men arise. And, of course, this takes place when people think that they know more than Pastor or the house of Yahweh. You know, it's so easy to conform. You know, it really is, but you have to have the desire. And that desire has to come from the heart. Okay? Always remember, Yahweh has equipped us with it. We just have to put it in place. Okay, Therefore, watch and remember that for the period of 3 years. Now, that's very interesting, that three-year period. You know, just think about that. All of that that we're looking forward to this last 3.5 years. Think about all of the previous years that Pastor has actually warned us, you know, of the same thing, you know, about not falling back into God worship, allowing others to come in that bring God worship. Okay, so therefore, watch and remember that for the period of 3 years, and of course, this is the Apostle Shaul, I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. And we've seen that by a great pastor and overseer. You know, I mean, he desires to see us know and understand what the love of Yahweh is. And of course, we know that we've been taught to know that the love of Yahweh is the keeping and loving of his commandments and learning to reverence Yahweh in this way. Okay, now verse 32. Now, this is the verse I wanted to get to here because, I made a note. You know, it's so important that we consider how we're being presented to Yahweh by Pastor through Yahshua because we all have to be in unity. You know, Pastor can't stand there and just say, well, you know, I've got this one and this one and that one. And no, it's the entire flock. It's the entire congregation, you know, that is to be presented, just like what took place with Abel. Okay, and in verse 32, and now, brothers, I commend you. And think about that word commend, you know. I mean, it's like a command or it's like a, you know, something that we are instructed to do. I commend you to Yahweh and to the law which he gave, which is able to build up the house of Yahweh and is able to give you an inheritance among all those who are saints. Now, there's a lot said in that verse. But if you think about it, if you look how important it is to know and understand what the law is, okay, the law of the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of First Fruits, that will all be fulfilled when we're ready. And it's not to take it away, but like Pastor said, we, you know, everything is a example of what we ought to be able to come in that time frame. You know, we've got 30 days left. You know, 30 days is a long time, but we need to be prepping our minds. And it's not only physically prepping, but spiritually prepping, always giving our minds over to study. Okay? So we need to move along here. Let's go in the book of Yisrael. I want to go ahead and cover some of where this sermon came from. In the 18th book of Yisrael, if you would have it, this is chapter 37, page 395. Okay, chapter 37, page 395. And it's entitled War in Heaven and Earth in the Last 3.5 Years of the 7-Year Peace Plan, a 7-Year Peace Treaty. You know, and it was given on Isaiah 7 and the Roman date 12, 15, 18. And if you look down to verse 3, if you have the book, Pastor says the prepping. I wanted to get that in last time, but I didn't have time. They're telling you to start prepping because the utilities they know are very vulnerable. Now, we covered the first couple of scriptures here, you know, that we covered. If we really, truly believe that we are Yahweh's possession, you know, well, yes, we have to prepare physically, but we know these things. These things are going to come upon the world as a complete surprise. You know, even though they're trying to get it out there, you know, they just live day to day. And if you think about it, that old saying, if it doesn't take place in my backyard, I'm not going to worry about it. You know, that's the way the way the world looks at things. Okay, the terrorists could hit them at any time. The cities will be without electricity or water, they say. The grocery stores will shut down. They'll be without sewage. Now look down to verse 4. Pastor says, I want you to turn the second key for 310, and let's go ahead and do that. Page 963. Page 963, second key for because this is a great a scripture here for our prepping, you know, for both physically and spiritually, you know, for the great feast of Pentecost. Okay, Pastor says, I want you to turn to 2 Kefa 3:10, verse 13. And he starts reading 2 Kefa 3:10, but the day of Yahweh will come as a thief in the night. Now, Pastor says, that is on the world. It won't come on as a thief in the night for you because you're well aware of what's going to take place because you know the prophecies. Okay? And he continues on in that verse, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. And, of course, he refers to Malachi 4, 1 and 2. And then a little bit later on in the sermon, let's see here, he goes back to 2 Kefa. He goes back to 2 Kefa 3:11. Since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you be in holy conduct? You know, if we're doing everything that's required, especially spiritually, to prepare our minds and our hearts, we're doing what's required. Then we need to be able to help others to do the same. Okay? That should be righteous, a sacred conduct, Pastor says. You know? In other words, it should be a holy conduct, a holy, righteous manner that we live in. Okay, you must look for, and of course he's continuing on here in verse 12, you must look for and earnestly long for the day of Yahweh, because of which the heavens will be dissolved in fire and the elements will melt with fervent heat. And in verse 13, nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Now, you know, we've all been in the house of Yahweh for quite some time to know just what righteousness is, but Pastor never fails to remind us of it. Okay, Pastor says, righteousness is the keeping of Yahweh's laws. 1 Shachanan 3, 4, 7 through 8. That's how we should be prepping. That's the point I wanted to make. You know, in other words, as Pastor said here, you know, if we're studying to show ourselves approved, then we are prepping. We're not only prepping for the Feast of Pentecost, but we're prepping for the great multitudes that will be coming in. Now, in this same chapter here, let's see here. Pastor says, and if you have the book in verse 16, he said, let's turn to Matthew 5:17. I know all of you know this, but I want the people who are listening on Facebook to hear. By the way, welcome out there, everyone in the world, to this program. You know, this is an ongoing teaching process, and it resembles a tree. It is continually growing. Just think about all they're trying to do to bring Facebook down, and you'll know that this is the reason that we have got to get this message out. You know, they are really trying to bring it down in that way. You know, it would take away a lot from what the work of Yahweh brings forth by that source. Now, of course, Yahweh, if that source would be taken away, I'm sure Yahweh will provide another one, as long as we do what we are required to do. Now, Pastor, a little bit further down in that verse, Pastor says, there are 4,199 religions, and they're all looking forward to peace by force. Force has never brought anything except more wars. Okay? And this is the secret part, or the other part, thing that I had mentioned about being in perfect unity. Pastor says in verse 17, the only thing that is going to bring peace is unity. And it's got to be unity with righteous laws. Now, you know, we know that in Acts 2, you know, that the apostles were there all together in one house. And we know that that house is the house of Yahweh. You know, they were all in unity with Yahweh and in with Yeshua. And this outpouring of the Holy Spirit took place, which is just a greater ability to know Yahweh's laws, his prophecies, and to be able to be qualified to go out and teach that. And then, and just think about it, if there's a parallel there, what took place after that outpouring of the Holy Spirit? You know, there was many multitudes that came in. So, you know, keep all of these things in mind. So Pastor continues on there. Everyone has got to fall in line with those laws and start practicing righteousness. If you don't, you'll never be in Yahweh's kingdom. And that's what we're going to cover next. Okay, so if you would turn over to page 890, and we'll see all of these examples by the apostles. Page 890 in the book of 1 Corinthians. Okay, page 890. Okay, page 890, 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10. Okay, and this is, of course, the Apostle Shaul. Do you not know? And, of course, when we read the scripture, we could see this is totally what the world is doing today. You know, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh? Do not deceive yourselves, neither fornicators, nor God worshipers, worshipers of Elohim, nor adulterers, nor men who commit these perversions with boys, nor men who commit these perversions with other men. And in verse 10, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. You know, this is the flip side of the coin. You know, we need to stay on this side, okay? These, you know, are the ones that will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. And Yeshua has given us plenty of examples also, you know, of, you know, the kingdom of Yahweh is the house of Yahweh, as it reads in Matthias 6:33. And, of course, in Deuteronomy 12:5, the law shows us that we're to go there and we're to eat both physically and spiritually. Okay, so let's look at the protection of Yahweh. If you would be turning over to page 470. Page 470. And at Psalm 91, we're going to read verses 1 through 9. And the thing that we need to see here is Yahweh's protection is one thing. It's that the fact that he is in full control. Okay, Yahweh is in full control. Okay, so verse 1, he who dwells in the secret place or the protected place, we know this is the house of Yahweh, of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Or that word abide means to stay permanently. Okay, we say to Yahweh, you are our refuge and our fortress, you are our Father, and in you we will trust. Surely, surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome, deadly pestilence. You know, all of these things that's coming upon the earth at this time. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings will you trust. His truth will be your shield and buckler. You will not be afraid of the terror of night. As Pastor said, these things are coming upon the world, nor the arrow that flies by day and all of their wars, nor of the pestilence, the sickness, the disease that takes place and walks about in darkness, nor in the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 on your right hand, but it will not come near you. Only with your eyes you will look and you will see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made Yahweh, you and I have chosen Yahweh as our refuge, because you have made the Most High your house, the house of Yahweh. You know, praise Yahweh. And no evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your dwelling. There's one other thing I want to cover here. We got a short clip. Let's see here. Turn over to page 567. Page 567, and we'll cover this very quickly here. In Isaiah 59, verses 15 through 21. Now, we have to look at the fact that as we see Yahweh's Holy Spirit and His Comforter being poured out in these last days, that this is all actually showing that Pastor is the Comforter. You know, He is the one that's bringing forth the Holy Spirit to us. There's no way that we would be able to go in any other direction to access the High Priest Yeshua or Yahweh. Okay, so in verse 15, yes, truth the law is suppressed, and he who departs from evil upholds the law, is accounted as mad, makes himself a prey. Yahweh saw this, and it displeased him that there was no justice in the last days. But he saw no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Now drop down to, let's go down to verse 19. Okay, so they will reverence the name of Yahweh from the west, speaking of this last day's work, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When our enemies will come in like a flood, and the Spirit of Yahweh will lift up a standard against them. The Redeemer will depart from Zion for those of Jacob who repent of their sins, declares Yahweh. And this is the verse here. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says Yahweh, my spirit, which is upon you, namely my laws, which I have put in your mouth. They will not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your seed, nor from the mouth of your seed's seed, says Yahweh, from this time and forevermore. And look at that seed and seed seeds. That's three generations, and look at how many families we have in the house of Yahweh that are three-generation families. There's just one thing I'd like to read here in closing, and of course, this is chapter 20, page 215. Pastor talks about this connection with Yahweh and how we fit in the picture with Yahweh in the universe. Pastor says, I don't know when he put it into my mind. It seems like I've been alive forever just reading the scriptures, but I know I haven't. You don't start your proving until you're born. Then Yahweh puts you in front of all the universe out there. He puts you in front of that. Imagine that. He puts you in front of them even before you were born. Here you are. He has you teaching other people and setting an example for the universe. He shows the universe how you came through this trial or that trial, and you never lost connection with Yahweh. You didn't get up and go. You stayed. It can't be retrieved, somebody said, so hang on to it. And, of course, in closing, that's what I would encourage everybody to do, to hang on like a bulldog. And with that, I'll be turning it over for prayer.